What's up, everybody? Welcome to an all new, brand new episode of the Horror Bin. I said two things that meant the same thing. It's fine. Welcome to an all new episode, living and deadites alike. Today, we got a good buddy of mine, comic, podcaster as well.
No, I don't have my own.
All right, well, comic, but a great comic has a special out on YouTube. You can check it out right now. You can check him out here. It's Xander Beltran.
What's up? Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you so much for being on, bud. Really quick, before we get into the movie that we're talking about today, what's your experience? We were kind of like touching a little bit on movies, but what's your experience with specifically horror in general?
I actually was never really into it.
Okay.
I am a very like vivid dreamer, so I was always like scared to watch scary movies as a kid.
Yeah, same.
And to this day, I will be like, someone will be like, you want to watch this movie with me? And I'm like, if we do it at like 2 p.m. with the lights on.
The sun's got to be out.
And afterwards, I go outside.
God like, needs to be awake.
And like, no one attacks me. Yeah, not before God goes to bed. Because nothing good happens after 3 a.m. That's
no.
The devil. That's the witching hour.
Yeah. I watched, funny enough, it's the second time on this podcast someone has told me that because I watched... What did I watch? Oh, I watched Channing. It's funny enough, the guy, Channing, who helps us run the podcast, we did The Conjuring. Okay. And I was running so late and so behind on watching it that I was just home at 3 a.m. And I was just like, oh no, I had woken up at 3 a.m. after taking like a long ass nap. And I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it right now. So I watched it at 3 a.m.
That's not okay.
Oh no, I was cracking jokes to only myself,
yeah,
to make myself comfortable.
That.
I was like, well, gotta try to survive. But it was the same with me. Like, I never, like, as a kid, terrified of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Chucky especially, and zombie movies, just because I always felt like that's a possibility.
When I was a kid, there's this kid who got adopted by his family, and then he kills the whole family that adopts him. And I watched that, like, my dad, like, didn't know I was watching it. I literally was, like, standing in the other room. You ever do that when your parents are watching like adult stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kind of
still
like
do it.
Hover over them, like without hoping they don't notice, and just watch it for as long as you can. And my dad didn't notice for so long. I watched like basically the whole movie. I shouldn't have watched that movie. It like fucked me up.
You don't remember
it,
what
like,
movie it was?
Made me scared. I don't remember it. I gotta look it up or something.
Adopted kid that murders his family.
He like murders his whole family, and he's good at making himself look like he's dead, so he gets away with it by seeming dead. He puts like a bouncy ball on his wrist to fuck up his pulse. And then people go, oh, he's dead.
Yo, if you guys know what movie that is, let us know. Yeah.
I remember being like, this is, I shouldn't, you know, when you want to do something naughty as a kid and then while it's happening, you're like, they were right. I'm not old enough for this. So I felt like the first time I tried like a cigarette, I was like, I'm not old enough for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
No, same. And then I remember as a kid, my dad was just like, hey, try the cigar. And I tried it. And I'm like, this is no sin.
This is for old men. I'm not strong enough yet.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Do you think
I've recently been getting into it more. My best friend and like a housemate is super into horror movies because he's been making me watch more.
Yeah.
But the one we're discussing today, The Evil Dead, is the first one I think I watched with a group.
Okay.
A horror movie I watched with a group. It was like in high school. I think I was like a freshman. We all went over to my friend's house and watched The Evil Dead.
Hmm.
So it was like kind of like a pivotal moment in my life where I was like, okay, I could see how this is fun.
Yeah.
Because before it'd be like my parents were like, do you want to watch this? Or my brother's like, do you want to watch? My brother would fuck with me. So I never liked watching horror movies. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, that could be, it's kind of fun, especially like people crack jokes during scenes.
Yeah.
Instead of just being scared the whole time.
And this is, we're talking about, now you guys already heard, we're talking about Evil Dead and we're talking about the OG Evil Dead, 1981. Not the one that I started off with. I started off with Evil Dead 2.
Oh, okay.
And I got into that. That's how I got into Ash as the character, because that's really when he comes into his
right
his ashiness.
The first movie is kind of just
a straight
how it might have become that he becomes the guy who is Ash Evil Dead.
It's definitely well actually
that magnum opus, the reason why you are why you are.
No, magnum opus, I feel like it's like.
Is that your best?
It's like, yeah, it's like your best. I think it's like your best thing. Like
your best film if you're.
Yeah. This is what's all been leading up to. My magnum. Yeah, that sounds right. My magnum opus.
Do you know what the term is for that? Well, there's like a term for like the reason why someone is the way that they are. It's normal in like hero and villain movies.
Right. Backstory seems backstory. Like the easiest thing, but I think I know what you mean.
It's like French or it's like a little Latin. And
yeah.
Like, that's a good way to say that.
Yeah. That's how like there's
let people know that you read
there's people
books.
Who like movies and there's people who like films.
Yeah.
And they use that word.
Cinema.
Let's go to the cinema. Do you mean AMC? The cinema. Okay. All right.
I got to get my popcorn and my Airheads and go to the cinema.
But before we get into talking more, let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer. And this was Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell's first movie ever,
first
too.
Film, yeah, Sam Raimi's first directorial debut.
And, like, just everything shows it, too. Like, it has... Well, that tree's going to get it. Like everything about it is like peak 80s vibes. It's got that indie first film.
They made it for $90,000.
And it was all basically crowdfunded.
Yeah.
Before crowdfunding.
Yeah, they like. I mean, I think they kind of invented some stuff with making this movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a couple times where you see a Bruce Campbell just literally like for real to eating shit. And they kept it in the movie. Like, stuff is falling on him and bookcases and all this stuff.
Real blood, I think.
Yeah.
Some of the scenes. They're like, tried to make it look like, oh, just hit him. And then he actually starts bleeding. So pretty sure.
Looks great. Let's keep it. What a trailer, though. Just kind of showing everything here.
It shows a lot. It's giving away a lot.
Evil Dead. Rated PG-13. At least for that time, it probably would have been PG-13.
Wait, really?
The 90s, what they got away with for PG and G?
Really? You don't think it was R-rated? There's nudity in it.
No, I'm sure it's actually rated R. I'm right. Me saying PG-13. I just like saying it as that.
It's PG-13.
It's PG-13. Good for all kids. Come bring grandma.
Save your can of Coke to get half off tickets.
But yeah, Evil Dead, the OG, the original 1981 classic, NC-17 actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not know that.
Well, there's that scene with where the forest basically.
Yeah, like, the forest commits assault.
Takes a woman. It's terrible.
That is,
it's bad.
Problematic. Trees do better. Do better, trees. There's just a redwood.
Not all trees, though.
There's a redwood somewhere that's just like, this doesn't speak for all of us. This is horrible representation. For those that don't know, Evil Dead, like I said, 1981. Five friends travel to a cabin in the woods where they unknowingly release flesh-possessing demons. And that does happen. Written and directed by Sam Raimi, his first feature film. Debut, as well as the debut of America's golden idol Bruce Campbell, also playing not Ash yet, Ashley Williams,
yep.
Who will later go on to be Ash with the chainsaw arm and the one-liners and the everything. Definitely a different tone than most of the other Evil Dead movies.
It's all necessary action, and mm-hmm. It's people that he knew. They're not just random evil people. It's like his friends became possessed.
Yeah.
So it's way crazier that he has, like, you know, it's not his, like, duty. It was like, I have to do this or I'll die.
Yeah. It was a fight to survive situation. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, like we were saying, there's a lot of stuff that they did that were kind of like firsts in terms of techniques for films and stuff. I think the most iconic thing is that first person camera view. Going through the forest at the beginning, mm-hmm. And then
it's like the swooping, like energy of evil moving through the forest.
It's a drone shot before drone shots.
Yeah, it's just somebody. It'd be fun to watch somebody film because it's just probably him running through the forest.
I found out they put it on a two by four.
Oh, really?
And it's just two people holding a 2x4 and they're running through.
That's amazing. It looks great.
It does. It looks great. This is one of those movies that's like now, like nowadays, we can look at this and be like, that's the way you break into anything now. It's just do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Get a crew together. Get people that you know are talented, that you know you can trust. Get the money, and then just go for it. Just do it. And then what's great for them is they put it out. I forget where, but Stephen King sees it, gives his stamp of approval, gives his hype for it, which leads to them getting distribution from, I forget who, but they get distribution because of Stephen King.
Wow.
Yeah. Just from one, like, hey, this is good.
I mean, that's all it takes.
But yeah, everything about this movie, like very iconic scenes, very iconic looks, shots, everything. Do you remember
the lighting's really interesting?
Yeah.
It's almost never fully lit, the setting. It's always kind of spotlit with so much shadow, like shadow. It really does feel like it is just, I don't know if they even brought extra lights. I think they just, like, we're using lights that are in a cabin.
That
like,
seems,
it feels like you are just in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Can't see shit.
Can't see shit. And it shows sometimes. Like we said, like, I mean, Bruce Campbell's just fumbling around everything. There's legitimately a scene where a cabinet falls on top of him and
hurts it like
I looked into it. It was not supposed to fall on him.
Yeah.
But you look on his face, like, he was just like, oh, well, we're going with it. But we got demons as our monster for this one, specifically Deadites, which are a mainstay for the Evil Dead franchise. It's very funny that the evolution of them, because for this first movie, they strictly, like, this is horror. They're monsters, they're demons. Let's keep it in that realm.
Right.
Then when we start moving on to the second, Army of Darkness, and I would even say even to, like, the newer Evil Dead movies, especially Ash versus the Evil Dead, you get more of the comedic side of them. But, like, this one, it really played.
Yeah, I don't know how funny they were trying to be when they made this. There are some moments that are hysterical to me. But I love the milk that just comes out of the demons. They just shoot milk out of their mouths. It doesn't look like any liquid, like a
among other things that they shoot out of their mouths.
Yeah, that would shoot out. Like, it doesn't look like anything a liquid a person would make.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were possessed. Like,
yeah.
It still just looks like somebody poured milk in their mouth and then they went. It's great.
Oh my god. We just recently watched this new movie, Late Night with the Devil. That's out right now. It's an indie movie. But there's a scene, it's like a late night. It's like a late night Johnny Carson knockoff show that they're trying to compete with Johnny Carson. And they have, it's a Halloween episode and they have like a mentalist and they have this woman who's been working with a girl who's supposedly possessed and this and that. And they have a skeptic on. And after the mentalist kind of does his thing where it's like, obviously, like, oh, he's, you know, he's conning people. He has like a real moment of like, oh, I'm really like, oh, what the fuck? Like something's really happening. And then there's a part before they remove him to take him to the hospital. He like projectile vomits some like black goo. Mm. And then the skeptic comes on. He's just like, this is what we call spewing. Yeah, they do this all the time. Blah, 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 blah. He starts explaining it. And I'm like, who? Who just, the amount that he like spews is ridiculous.
So like they plan to spew, so they like, what, yeah, take, like, black to
get
dye
to give that effect so of that, like, he's possessed,
and then
or
throw up in public on purpose.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, that's kind of like what this guy,
the skeptic, say. It,
the skeptic in the movie is like real over the top in terms of just like how unbearable he is. So
sure, yeah.
And like just how adamant he's just like, it's all fake. It's like, okay. But yeah, but like that was what I was getting when I was watching.
There's always this one guy like that in a horror movie that is puts everybody else at risk.
There's a logical explanation for this.
In this movie, it's the guy with the blonder hair, the lighter hair.
Mm-hmm.
He just keeps being like, there's no demons. Get a grip, Samantha, or whatever their name is. I don't remember all their names, but it's just like.
Samantha's a good guest, though.
Like, someone's already possessed downstairs. Like, and he's still like, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, you broads. Yeah, just,
you women are crazy. You're hysterical. Like,
suddenly turning into newsies.
I don't know.
It's what are you talking about?
Because it's that old, it's that 70s, 80s accent.
Yeah.
I can't, it's hard to not go all the way back.
Yeah, they do. Like I said, they give up all the 80s vibes.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, that's more. Well, a window did just explode.
Just explode.
Dude, it happens. We're in the woods.
It happens.
No, it doesn't.
Well, you guys never been camping before? Yeah.
We're out here in the elements.
How did you feel? I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit. How did you feel about the tree scene overall? Because it's an icon. It's like one of many memorable scenes in this movie.
It explains how the demon gets into the first person and then travels amongst them. Because before, it'd be like, how does it get possessed? And then because one of them is possessed and they bite other people and attack them, that's how the rest of them get possessed. So I don't know. It kind of makes sense. It is like a little crazy.
Yes.
A lot of times in movies, I'm like, did you just want to see this girl's tits? Like, what is this scene for? Why are we doing this to this poor girl?
Which, if that's what you want, that's all right. Yeah, that's but like, too. Let's be honest about it. It's not sorry about it. It's real, it's art. It's art. Like, you want to see some titties?
It's scary. It's a little intense. It's funny. I was like catching up on it. I was watching it on my phone and people are like around me and I'm like, this is an insane scene to like for someone to walk by and see me watching on my phone.
just someone doing a double dip. What the fuck?
What is he? How important is that?
Kinks. I'm not you're the kink shame.
It's a little crazy. Yeah,
because they do
getting raped by the force. Yeah.
They do homages to it and like the Evil Dead, the remake, and then even in Evil Dead Rise, they do like kind of that homage of at least like something like tangling them up and like strapping them down and everything. Not as intense.
It's funny how that just stops though. Like the rest of the movie, they don't really get attacked by the trees anymore.
I don't. Yeah. Well, they're busy having a cigarette afterwards. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The tree satisfied.
You were good, kid. You were good. Yeah. It's fucking maple over here.
I'm going to go get some Gatorade.
You do your thing. You, if you need me to call somebody, let me know. Like, I got you. I got you.
Good Lord.
Not all trees. And there's also that big
part of the tree two movement.
The tree two.
So sorry. I'll leave right now. I'm so sorry I did that. I didn't. I'm sorry. I'll go.
Get out. we'll just move on from that. It is one of those. It's the wildest scene in the movie. It's like something you can't not talk about, can't not reference, cannot overlook, really. Because I remember seeing it, because I remember being told about it before I actually saw it. When someone was like telling me like, oh, it's this movie, and this girl gets raped by a tree, and I'm like, wait, what?
Why would I watch that?
Wait, I'm like, well, how does that work? And then secondly, why? But then I remember watching it, and yeah, like that was probably whenever I first watched it, I remember just for me like that being like the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it sets it up where that typical horror movie thing where one person experience. Is the horror, and everyone else is like, you're crazy.
Yes.
So because it was out in the middle of the woods and no one else saw it, she could come back, be the hysterical woman that the guy's like, you're crazy, broad.
Yeah.
Like, it sets it up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's necessary.
I mean, it's horror. That's
it makes you uncomfortable.
It's an easy cop-out, but I mean, it's horror, you know, and it's getting a reaction. And especially for what the whole cast went through, too, because apparently they were pretty much cooped up in this cabin for the entire shoot, freezing. It was wet, barely any working toilet.
Wow.
And yeah, just like tough conditions.
That's why it was so real.
But yeah, like that. But that then like you get the best. You get the best out of your performers when you torture them a bit. but I do think like I mean they you know they're you know it goes to show like how much they all were in it. For this movie,
right,
is that they're willing to put up with the horrible conditions. They're willing to put up with dealing with the elements and everything, and not even knowing if this is going to go anywhere, if it's going to have any success at all.
I mean, who else continued acting out of it?
Bruce Campbell. Well, we got Bruce Campbell for sure. Let's
make sure we know that. Ellen, let me see. Ellen, oh my goodness. There we go. Ellen Sandwise, don't know her. Betsy Baker, Teresa Tilly, Richard Dimoninacoro. I'm not going to say the last name. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't really know if they've really been in anything else recently.
Sam Raimi, the producer, and Bruce Campbell went on to do stuff. They, pretty much everyone else just had like a fun.
One of them went on to do Evil Dead the Game in 2022. Oh, I think a lot of them made appearances in Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Okay.
The TV series.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they've done it back.
Yeah, they've done like stuff. They haven't like nothing big. Bruce Campbell, like, again, is the breakout star of it all. Yeah, nothing too big. A lot more TV than anything else for a lot of them.
That makes sense.
But yeah. But, I mean, we're all grateful for Bruce Campbell. We love us some Bruce Campbellness.
Then, you know, Sam Raimi is a great director.
Great director.
Those are my Spider-Mans. Those are my favorite Spider-Mans.
Same. Grew yeah. up with those. Like, I remember those trailers and being like, oh, fuck yeah. Not knowing that, like, oh, the guy who directed A Tree to Assault a Woman
is the same guy
making a Spider-Man movie.
He also directed, like, The Great Oz. It's like a knockoff Wizard of Oz movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know, when I was reading his wiki, I was like, wow, I didn't know that one. That's one of those ones where somebody, like, I think your wife's like, we need another car.
Gotta diversify.
Yeah, or they're like, here, this son's like, I want to go. You just hear your son, overhear your son saying, I want to go to Stanford or like Harvard or something. You're like, all right.
Let's make what do we got to do? Yeah, we'll Wizard of Oz, Rebeth. All right, we'll do it. All right. That's Francis Ford Coppola did Jack for that reason.
That's a Robin Williams movie where he like yeah. ages.
Where
he's backwards,
he's like a 35-year-old, but he's like a 7-year, like it's a 7-year-old in a 35-year-old's body. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It was one of the only movies my grandmother had, so
we watched
a lot. That, Aladdin, and Flubber, and The Sandlot.
Nice. I had The Sandlot, The Big Green, The Little Rascals, and like some other movie on VHS, and I just watched them on repeat in my room.
Same.
That's all I had.
Did you ever have those little? It's like,
oh, and the Mighty Ducks, all three. I had that little, the trilogy. Or
back when.
Can you call that a trilogy?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
I don't know why. When I hear trilogy, I'm like, it's got to be like John Wick or The Matrix. Like, someone's got to be a spy level fighter. Like, trilogy, I don't know why it sounds like a badass person.
The Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Doesn't it sound
And they
crazy?
Are badass people. They take on the Germans.
Yeah, the Kung Fu Panda trilogy. Doesn't it sound weird?
It trilogy does take a little bit of power away from the word trilogy.
I don't know why. Because you think of like The Matrix trilogy.
Yeah. The Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
Rugrats trilogy. Or whatever. They got three movies.
Finding Nemo, the trilogy.
He never stops getting lost.
He'll never find his way.
Oh, my God. The effects and everything in this movie, like over the top gore fest, which we love here.
I love when you could see an obvious rubber hand too.
Yes.
So like smack, you see a pen.
In hindsight, you see a lot, but like the amount of gore and the amount of effects that they had, like it's over the top and I fucking love it. I don't know. I'm curious as to what cost more, just creating like creating the blood or
making the blood
making the blood or fucking or crafts. I don't know. probably
the little monster. Sometimes they were like, seemed like it was just like a monster mask. Like, I don't even know if a person was in it.
Oh,
in some of the moments.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would say I wasn't able to look up too much in terms of all the
like
makeup
had a
stuff.
Thing, cause like, so there's like when she's like trapped downstairs and she's jumping out. I feel like there's times where I'm like, I don't even think it's a person. I think it's like a doll they're shoving. But it scared me. Firing
out a dummy out of a cannon.
I mean, that must have been actually terrifying when it was 1981.
Oh, yeah.
And you hadn't seen so much stuff like that.
Looking back in like older movies, even before 80, even before like the 80s or the 90s, I would say more like somewhere in the 80s and earlier. Horror movies. It is interesting seeing them through like a modern day lens of like you can appreciate the effects and how everything looked for the time.
Yeah.
But you're still looking at it like, wow, I can do this at home right now.
Yeah.
But at the time, like, just crazy. It must
have been remarkable, yeah.
Yeah, remarkable techniques, effects, and everything. An hour and 25, which I think is perfect.
Perfect
time. We were just talking on last episode we were recording, we were just talking about how maybe about under 2 hours, 90 minutes is, like, solid for horror.
Yes.
Anything over that, you're just... got to cut some exposition.
How many people am I going to watch die?
Yeah. Listen, I'll watch as many as I can. Make it entertaining. I'll watch it. I'll watch a 2-hour slaughter fest. But if it's a lot of, like, he was killed by the angry villagers and now this and that, it's just like, oh my God, just hurry. I want him to hurry up and show up here. I want to kill these people. I guess I didn't have the budget on here. But we were saying, you were saying
90,000. I think is what it was, his seed money. He might have crowdfunded more.
Yeah,
but the way he was able to get this was he wrote a short film with the same guy who produced this movie. It was him and his buddy. I think they, like, would write stuff and direct stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was mostly Sam Raimi. And it said in the wiki it was like $90,000 is what he got from the proof of concept with the short film.
Oh, okay,
and then they went and made it.
Oh, very cool. And yeah, and then, like, most of it, a lot of it, like, from friends and family. I'm sure, like, a good chunk of it was from the people helping to produce and all that.
Probably, yeah.
But I mean, just the idea of that, being able to get, like, people together in order to make this, and then not only
that
make
number
it,
is crazy because, like, you don't even see a movie.
And that's '80s money too.
Yeah, I mean, that's more. It goes further. So how much do you think 90,000 in the '80s is worth now?
Ooh, let's. I'm gonna type it in, but I'm not gonna 90,000 pesos. Why is that the first thing?
Racist.
Google.
You know, I wish my phone was more accepting of my multicultural. It just, like, constantly being like, all right, white guy, right. I don't know how to spell that. That's not it. There's no NEAs available.
What is this L shit? It's one letter, not two.
It always autocorrects. I'm like, hey, man, I'm saying pollo.
So, all right. So $90,000 in the 80s worth today. I'm going to guess like maybe like, around 300,000.
I think it's 384,000.
You're going like specifics. You're like price is right ruling me right now. God damn.
I go $300,001. Just
to be. You son of a bitch. Oh, we were pretty. Wait, that's nine million. Why is it giving me 9 million? I said 90,000. What was your number? What was your guess again?
384.
You were close, but you went over.
Okay.
It's 359,937 today in 2024.
That's still a small budget for a movie.
True. Yeah. Very true. But for what the budget they had, they put out a good product. The writing is great. The directing is great. Acting, Bruce Campbell, you can do no wrong. A lot of it's
just not so bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. For like an 80s, very, I don't want to say schlocky because I don't feel like that's the right word. But for an 80s, very over the top gore fest of a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The acting didn't meet that, like, over the top bar to where it's like, I can't take this serious. Now it is turning into a comedy. It met like a good middle ground, mm-hmm. which was just perfect.
Because anytime somebody was overacting, they did a good job as themselves. The only time where it was like, all right, this is a little crazy, was when they were possessed by a demon, which doesn't make sense anyways. You're like, yeah, there's a demon in there.
They're, demons are known for their theatrics.
Yeah, they're known for being like,
I want your soul. Jeez. All right. What the tone? Can you do it again? He's on pitch. Wow. Which does lead to the next part. In terms of the scary rating between 1 and 10, where are you putting this at?
I would put it at like a 6 or 7.
Okay, that's fair. I'd say the same.
Scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fast-paced, and it's over quick.
Hour and 25, perfect.
And there's enough to keep you interested.
Yeah.
Throughout it.
Were you ever a fan of the sequels or any of the other ones that came out?
Watched that many of them. I watched Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness,
mm-hmm.
and I never watched Ash versus Evil Dead or anything like that.
Same. I've heard it's a lot of fun to watch.
I might want to get into. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Or it's a fun watch. Same. I'm not really interested in getting committed to a to that show though. But I mean, and then even with the like the remake in the 2000s, I forget. Just the Evil Dead remake that where they take place in the cabin.
I won't watch a single remake.
No,
especially this woke shit they're doing lately. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
All these genders everywhere.
Just make it women, whatever. That's not how the first one was.
Back in my day, a tree could be a tree, and he got what he wanted. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to remake this movie, but instead of the trees, it's going to be actually bushes. Bush representation is important.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't
care. The thing I liked about The Evil Dead was that it was an old 80s movie. It felt... I like those kinds of
classic
movies. Yeah, sometimes stuff like... It's like, this camera's too nice for this plot.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like... It felt like, yeah, it was like I was following people around in the woods. Like,
we were...
On a shaky camera.
Yeah, like, we were talking about this on a different episode, too, about... And we'll probably have an episode where we just talk about in-depth about just the originals versus remakes. But it is... It is a thing of like your remake, people remake a property because they notice like, oh, it has a fan base. It has a success, but the success came from the fact that
they already had merch for it. And those use the same merch. And all
yeah.
That.
And it, but it, but it had a fan base and has a following now because like you said, because it has that nostalgic, like look, that feel, it was something that it was an original idea at the time.
Yeah.
And then when you do a remake, I'm gonna be a bit more fair. 7 out of 10 times, they're gonna fall flat. Right. They're not gonna be as good as the original, and they have no reason to exist. Yeah. With some of the Evil Dead, I don't even want to call
it's
them
all
remakes.
New original content,
pretty much
based off of the character and the what like, yeah, the storyline
yeah.
of it, but it's not like just making the same thing again. I guess the new Evil Dead is though, right?
Yeah, I would say Evil Dead Rise is better than the Evil Dead remake that came before it. But that remake's still good. If you're looking for something that's, you know, it's polished. It like you said, it's polished. It's clean. It has good looking cameras and everything. Good lighting. Good effects. But if you're looking for something that it's good, like if it stood on its own, mm-hmm. and they didn't call it Evil Dead.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's also like there's also the book of the Necronomicon.
I
mean,
a lot of it is that there's only so many stories you could tell, and then mm-hmm. people are like, "Oh, that's a good one." And I don't know. I feel like if you just add a little bit, you could do like something where it seems like an homage. But I guess you may be running into intellectual property theft.
Yeah.
So instead, you're like, "Let's just make that again."
I remember we were talking about the movie Prey, which is the most recent Predator movie.
Okay.
But it had it was all indigenous characters, indigenous crew. It took place in like I want to say like 1780 or 1880, something like somewhere on there. But it was like a good like reimagining of the story and still having references to the original, but not being like, oh, we have to have this because it was in the original. Like they would say yeah. lines like, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Or there's like another line that they say, but the way they deliver certain lines, it's like, oh, it feels natural, right. And you almost forget like, oh, that's in the original. So there's a right way to do
that's
remakes,
cool. Yeah.
And there's definitely wrong ways. But this one for sure is probably one of the best. I put it at the top of the horror bin. This is like an easy. You go walk up to that bin, and you see it on the top, and it's an easy no-brainer pick.
Yeah.
This is a go-to horror movie. If you're someone getting introduced to horror,
it's a great start.
This is a great start.
The first one I watched where I was like, I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Definitely more enjoyable. I mean, you watched it with friends, right?
I watched it with friends.
I think
yeah.
definitely this is one of those ones that's definitely more enjoyable with a group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you get anything's taken away or anything's added if
yourself.
You watch it by yourself,
yeah.
but it's definitely more enjoyable with a group.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Xander, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate
Thanks
you talking about this.
Yeah,
Evil Dead, one of the greats, one of the best, top of the bin. And you got your camera right here. Let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on, and everything.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me on. My Instagram is @thisguyfunnyman. You can find all my stuff on there. And then if you want to watch my debut special, it's on Tiny Pony Comedy YouTube channel. If you just look up Xander Beltran, Xander Beltran. It'll come up. It'll be for the first result.
And what's the title?
That's called Milky Mexican.
Milky
Mexican. Because I'm half Mexican, but I look like I might just be 2%.
Oh, I know. You and I are in the same boat. We're
Some guy actually said that to me, like, bullet, like, in front of a lot of people. Like, what are you, like, 2% for? He's like, what are you, like, a milky Mexican? Like, what are you, like, 2%? And I was
you
like,
you ain't a whole percent.
I'm like, nah, man, I'm half and half. Ah. That, like, really happened, and it's, like, one of the jokes in the special, so it's, like, it's kind of part of my identity, you know?
So, Milky Mexican, make sure to check it out on YouTube, and make sure to follow Xander on everything. Super funny. You guys can follow me and find me on all the things at Julian F. Comedy. You can follow this podcast at Horribin Pod. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Let's possess as many people and get them listening and watching this podcast as possible. But once again, Xander, appreciate you coming on, making time and bringing in the horror movie, bringing in Evil Dead.
Yeah, I prepared all of this for you.
Here's the entree.
I called up Sam Raimi on my time travel phone.
I said, hey, Sam, can we talk
about
this?
If you don't make this movie, I'm going to be pissed.
But like we say at the end of every episode, groovy, baby. Bye.